Specter chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee. He's one of the first Republicans to publicly question the National Security Agency's authority to monitor international calls when one party is inside the United States without first getting court approval. Sergeant Michael Smith gets 6 months for his Abu Ghraib atrocities. The soldier was sentenced for tormenting prisoners with his animal. Smith could have received as much as 8.5 years in prison for 5 offenses. Prosecutors say he competed with another dog handler to see how effectively prisoners could be terrified at the prison in Iraq. Milwaukee police are walking shoulder to shoulder and stepping up to search for 2 young boys who disappeared from their neighborhood 3 days ago. They are searching for 11-year-old Purvis Parker and 12-year-old Quadrivian Henning. A police spokeswoman says officers are looking through vacant lots, vacant vehicles, and homes of registered sex offenders. She says dive teams have also been called on to search sewers in nearby lagoon because the boys have no history of running away. Dara Littlejohn has been indicted in the vicious rape and strangulation murder of New York City grad student Emet Sangiyon. You'll recall Sangiyon's body was dumped in a desolate area of Brooklyn last month with her head wrapped in packing tape and a sock stuffed in her mouth. Officials say the indictment in the case will be unsealed and announced tomorrow. Good news for the Koch family of Pittsburgh. Their daughter Tanya, missing since age 14, is now 24 years old. She's been found safe. Police say Tanya Koch was found yesterday in McKeesport. She was reported missing on February 10, 1996. Police Chief Joseph Pierce says she was initially listed as a runaway, but her disappearance turned into a missing person case. Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Worthy broadcasting for Mike Malloy. Mike, Kathy Malloy, little Molly Malloy, off on vacation, so I'll be doing it all week with you. Please join me, 866-303-2270. That's our toll-free number all across America. Hey, I don't know, all across the world. Some of you folks figure out how to call from Asia and Europe and what have you. 866-303-2270. Email will go into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. And welcome. It's what I said. Man, so much here. Yeah, usually, I mean, I've done full-time talk, and for the last few years been back to doing a Sunday night show as well as a series of interviews. And I always think, I there's so much here. I just wish I had a daily show because there's too much to cover on one night. It's just every day. What are they going to break next? What monstrous lie or what act of incompetence or cronyism or corruption are they going to pull on us next? Well, GW, out on the stump here, it says Bush pulls out the stops to save ratings. Wow. Whether he's before a friendly West Virginia audience, a Cleveland club proud of its interrogation skills. Whoa, interrogation skills. I wonder if some of those were at Abu Ghraib. Or a White House news conference, President Bush is drawing on his plain-spoken manner in freewheeling venues to defend his Iraq strategy. We don't think there's an Iraq strategy, do we? We think they're just hoping. Either that or this is okay that it keeps going on and on and on because it generates so much money for the war machine, the destructive end of it and also the reconstruction end of it, that in a lot of ways it doesn't matter to these guys. Oh, maybe a bunch of them will get bounced out of office, but the racket will go on, according to GW, at least another couple of years. His predecessor, probably a Democrat, will say, hey, we got to get out of there. Yeah, this is insane. In the meantime, though, how many more billions, well, let's not say billions, how many tens of billions more will be wasted? How many more tens of thousands of lives, particularly Iraqis? And why do I say particularly Iraqis and I'm an American? Don't I care about our American boys and girls? Well, there's a lot fewer of them dying. And let's be frank, they're the ones that are perpetrating the deaths of tens of thousands of others. People that don't deserve it, we think now at least 100,000 Iraqi civilians have been killed. Somebody killed them. They didn't kill themselves. And anyway, so Bush is out trying to save his ratings. Alternately serious and joking, charming and disarming in this war anniversary week. Oh, man, I could just puke. Bush is trying to counter election year critics. Oh, yeah, that's why we're doing it. It's election year. So we're just figuring, we want to get the other half of the racket back in power. We don't care that Americans and Iraqis are getting killed. We don't care that hundreds of billions of our dollars, the ones that we sweated our butts off for at work, getting underpaid in lots of cases, seeing the work week extending more and more without overtime. You know, our great-great-great-grandfathers and grandmothers fought in the 1880s for the 8-hour day, so people wouldn't have to work 10 hours and 12 hours. They got shot down in the streets for wanting the 8-hour day, and now that's gone. You know, it's 9 hours, 9.5 hours. Nobody getting paid overtime for it. Some people are. And Bush, he's alternately serious and joking, charming and disarming, trying to counter election year critics. He was in Wheeling, West Virginia today, the fifth day in a row Bush devoted to his remarks on Iraq. The president bantered with the locals, his shoulders bouncing up and down as they do when he's pleased with his own jokes. I mean, this probably works well for the third of the people that still support him. But the rest of us, why are we subjected to this? Why won't Bush step down? That's forget about 06 election. Forget about the 08 election. Forget about impeachment. Let's think Bush step down. Bush resign. Bush leave office now. Bush get out of town. Go clear some brush back in Crawford. This nation and this world can't stand another minute of George W. Bush. How about this? Bush brought down the House with his trademark, I won't back down pledge. Let me put it to you this way. If I didn't think we'd succeed, I'd pull the troops out, Bush said. More than 2,000 supporters, I'm going to leave out a part, leapt from their seats and filled the gilded Capitol Music Hall with wild applause. I mean, this is like a fascist rally. This is like a Nuremberg rally, right? The Nazis put together. Now, why is that? What did I leave out? Including many active duty military and their families. So he goes to this fairly small town, Bush does, for this pro-war rally. And there's not a lot of people. There's hundreds of people there, active duty military and their families. And to some extent, they're whistling in the dark. They have to tell themselves that they're being killed and killing people for a good reason. I mean, some of it is just this insane football mentality. Our team's going to win. We can't let our team lose. So even if it means our team is going to kill tens of thousands of more people, and our team is going to experience thousands of more deaths and thousands of more injuries, we're going to succeed. We've got a plan for victory, which is a total lie. They just want to stay there. We're going to talk about that a little later with Joseph Gerson. Joseph Gerson is the director of the Peace and Economic Program at the American Friends Service Committee, and he's got this book out, The Sun Never Sets, a book about U.S. military bases. And what happens? It used to be that military bases were built to wage wars, right? You want to have war, you got to have a base. Now we're building, we're waging wars in order to build bases. So we're getting this archipelago, right? The string of islands of bases all across the world, Kosovo, other parts of the Balkan states, Iraq, other Persian Gulf nations, Afghanistan, other Central Asian states. And we're paying the freight for this militarization of the war. Who? We the taxpayer. What could be done instead is to make peace. Oh, he's going to back down in front of our enemies. Who the hell are our enemies? Couple hundred guys throughout the world that are willing to risk their, give their lives to fly planes into buildings or blow themselves up in cars. I mean, they can do a lot of damage. They did it. We saw it. But you don't need $500 billion a year in military expenditures for barefoot guys with Kalashnikovs unless you're dreaming of empire and all empires collapse. All the empires of the past, whether it's Rome or Britain, begin to collapse because of overextension of military expenditures and also overexpenditures of overextension of geography. So Bush says, here are these people applauding wildly. If I didn't think we'd succeed, I'd pull our troops out. The president said at least a half a dozen times that he understands the concern about Iraq. He's in touch. There's some awful violence. There was some awful violence, he says. This is the past. I mean, he's not looking at these raids on the police stations and what have you. Some reprisals taking place. I can understand people saying, man, it's all going to, you know, it's not working out. That's what I'm saying. Man, it's all going to, you know, it's not working out. That's what we're saying. That's what two-thirds of the American people are saying. But Bush added, standing in front of three large blue and yellow plan for victory posters, and then he goes on to say something. Now, this is a political stump speech, and you and I probably forked over about $4,500 at a minimum for these signs, plan for victory, because these don't come out of nowhere. They're requisitioned. His front men, or advance men, I guess they call them, they say, okay, we're going to Wheeling, and we need three signs like 14 feet by 5 feet, and want them to say, plan for victory. Put some flags. Make, you know, got to have flags. How much? $1,500 a piece. And I may be dreaming. Last time I did this kind of stuff, and this is quite a few years ago, there are $1,500. You know, you put on vinyl and all. You got to have those grommets so you can tie them up. You know, you want them, don't want them to look sloppy and all that, or stands for them, even worse. So carpenters have to be hired and all that. So, I mean, you could be talking about 10 grand worth of signs to try to convince people that Bush has a plan for victory. Now, he's not trying to convince these people in Wheeling, West Virginia. He knows it's going to play on the nightly news, and he hopes that we're rubes, we're yokels, we're suckers, we're saps. We're going to believe this. Bush it. We're going to also talk just in a little while with Jack Huberman, and he's written a book called Bush It, an A to Z Guide to the Bush Attack on Truth, Justice, Equality, and the American Way. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show, 866-303-2270. I'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet that could help end poverty. And yet, it's being ignored. That resource is women. In many of the poorest parts of the world, women are pushed to the sidelines of their societies, not allowed to play a significant role. At CARE, we found that if given a chance, women possess incredible power to create change. So CARE is working to educate girls, working to help women start businesses, working to empower women worldwide. Right now, you can help CARE unleash this resource around the globe. For as little as $2 a day, you can make a difference to millions around the world.
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world.
I am powerful.
You have the power to help her do it.
To make your gift to CARE, call 1-800-486-0916. That's 800-486-0916. 800-486-0916.
To Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hey, Mike Malloy. I know that's your recorded voice. You're off in some idyllic paradise on your well-deserved vacation. Mike will be back this coming Monday. Peter Werby with you here from Detroit, Michigan. Broadcasting on the Air America Radio Network, you'd like to call in, give your comments, 866-303-2270, your email at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Hey, everything on my website is almost everything. Pretty serious, like the stuff we discuss on Air America. And yet I saw something, I don't even know if this is worth looking at. I've watched it twice. If you go to my website, Peter Werbe, PETERWERBE.com, nothing for sale then, your name is not recorded. There is, I hate to say this, a guy juggling. And you know who sent that to me? My Tai Chi teacher. And because what we talk about, of course, in Tai Chi, and because based on the philosophy of Taoism, that has to do with harmony and balance and proper relationship of one thing to another, of you to everything else, your body to your mind to your body, and what have you. So there's someone juggling, and you say, juggling? Well, it's okay. You've never seen anything like this before, let me tell you. I mean, I saw that she was sending this. I said, has she lost it? But this is the ultimate in mindfulness of being right there and concentrating on what is yours and what is necessary. Rather than these men, these absolutely mad men that have these grand schemes way outside of themselves that extend their ego and the vehicle of their ego are these military machines and these grand economic plans and what have you that always end in disaster. It doesn't always end in disaster immediately, and it never ends in disaster. Well, actually it does for their class as well. It rarely ends in disaster for their class, because who always gets eaten up and eaten alive are the common people, no matter what side you're on. I forgot what the statistics were, but the members of the Nazi party that died during World War II in Germany was fairly low. I mean, here you have things like this hideous, essentially war crime committed by the U.S. and Britain, the firebombing of Dresden, and 300,000 people got killed. Not very many Nazis did. Well, that's way on some other subject, isn't it? All right, George W. Bush trying to save his ratings. He's in Wheeling, West Virginia. And one of the things in this article I didn't read, but got an email on it all the same. Maybe that Bob in Las Vegas saw the same item. A woman in the audience, he got a standing ovation, Bush did, and was prompted by a woman. Oh, that's it. Wait. Another standing ovation was prompted by a woman who asked Bush what could be done to keep the press from ignoring progress in Iraq. And she said, our major media don't want to portray the good. If the American people could see it, there would never be another negative word about this conflict. She must know something we don't. Bob writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, as a caller pointed out on the Randy Rhodes show today on Air America, if there was any, quote, good news worth reporting on Iraq, Fox News would be all over it like a cheap suit. Yeah, it just ain't there. I mean, there's this whole story, and we may get to that later, about these U.S. Marines accused of executing 11 civilians, accidentally killing a whole Sunni family. These reprisal killings that go on day after day, the roadside bombs. What's good there? Less electricity. 34,000 attacks by insurgents against the occupation forces and the Iraqi government. I mean, there may be little things there, but what are they missing? What are they missing? The Abu Ghraib dog handler, well, here he was part of this mechanism that disgraced our country before the world. Now, the real people that belong in jail are the people that sanctioned this. The man who is the Secretary of War, Donald Rumsfeld. The man who is that heads the Department of Justice, the Attorney General. The generals who carried out this, who gave permission. We know that human beings will do the most beastly things imaginable if they're given permission. If you don't give them permission, the people with really creepy thoughts that dream about hurting people and humiliating people and subordinating people, they keep it in their brain. Maybe they just have fantasies like that, or they play games, or they have sexual fantasies based on this stuff. But when you let the demons loose, they will do anything. They'll slaughter men, women, and children. They'll herd people into gas chambers. They'll ride them down in the camps and they live and set their teepees afire. They'll give them poison blankets. They'll do anything if they get permission. That's why, for instance, in middle-class suburbs, the police are fairly restrained. They don't have permission to attack the citizenry. You go into very poor neighborhoods, all bets are off. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about this, how the United States has become officially a torture state under George W. Bush. Well, actually, we might even have something here that we can stay with, because Jack Huberman is going to join us in just a few minutes. He's written Bush It, and we'll come back with the Daryl Cherney song of the same name. Stay with me. I'm Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. This is the Air America Radio Network.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor. Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Searchdog USA.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Hey, Mike Malloy. He's on vacation. Peter Werby here with you. We're going to talk with Jack Huberman. He's got a brand new book called Bush It. In the meantime, here's Daryl Cherney. He says Bush It.
First they went and stole the election. The Supreme Court made the selection. The corporations gave the direction. They said Bush It. He went and hired his daddy's staff and a few guys from Nixon's just for a laugh. Now the world is his oyster, split in half. Bush It. Though he'd never been to a foreign land, had a map of the world he'd never understand. Right up his back went the puppeteer's hand. Bush It. Bush It. The old president son, Bush It. That's the way it's done, Bush It. For all of your friends, who knows where this whole thing's gonna end.
That's Daryl Cherney. Daryl Cherney singing Bush It. Joining us from New York City, Jack Huberman. Jack Huberman, formerly, his first book was Bush Haters Handbook. Jack Huberman, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you. Are you with me?
You have Joseph Gersten actually on the phone.
Well, I don't know what the hell to do. I think these guys kind of screwed it up a bit. Or I did. Is this when I was supposed to talk to you? You're on the air, by the way.
You called to arrange an interview about military bases.
I thought we were going to do it on 11:30.
No, it was 10:30.
Well, what the hell? And then that kind of blew my whole little deal because the song was called Bush It and the book was called Bush It by Jack Huberman.
Well, we can still deal with what Bush is doing in relationship to military bases globally. So
let's do this. This is very unprofessional, but I'll tell the staff in New York. Can you please call Jack Huberman and unravel this for me? We'll stay with you, Jack Gersten. Joseph Gersten, rather. Joseph Gersten is the director of the Peace and Economic Program at the American Friends Service Committee. He's the editor of the book, The Sun Never Sets. It's about U.S. Military bases worldwide. Joseph Gersten, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Peter Werby.
Thank you. An interesting way to come on.
Yeah, it's Bush It. Hey, what? So I was saying before, quoting, actually, Zoltan Grossman, where he said it used to be that military bases were built to wage wars, but increasingly it seems that wars are being waged to build bases. Is that the case?
Well, yeah, they've been built to conquer markets and to fight wars forever. And one of the things you find is that every time the United States goes to war, it takes more land and builds more bases. So, you know, we still have, you know, hundreds of bases in Europe. We've got 100 military bases in Japan, 100 military bases in Korea, and of course across the Middle East. So you know it's a chicken and egg kind of element here.
You know, that's interesting that you say that. Hundreds. If someone would have said to me, "How many bases does the United States have worldwide?" I probably would have, in my wild way, have said 75. But you're talking. What's our total? What are we dealing with here?
Well, we're dealing with about 325 major bases and many smaller installations. And then over and above those things that are officially U.S., you have what are called access agreements. So while we officially don't have bases anymore in the Philippines, we've got thousands of soldiers who can go all over the country. And we have, for example, a case right now where four soldiers are accused of raping a Filipino woman. And the U.S. Won't turn the soldiers over to the Philippine authorities, and this is fairly constant. We go and we're not held accountable to the laws in the countries we're in. People find this quite oppressive.
Mm-hmm. And any dollar figure on this, or is it too inter?
It's all interrelated, but we're dealing here with tens and tens of billions of dollars for these installations. I mean, we're just pouring $1 billion into how many more? It's like $1 billion into new bases at the moment in Iraq. We're putting billions of dollars into pre-positioning weapons in Bahrain and Kuwait, Qatar, and Oman. So this is really quite huge.
Well, we're facing a formidable enemy. I mean, the Soviet Union. Oh, no, wait a minute. I forgot. Yeah, I got to skip ahead a few years. Who's this all to protect us against?
Well, it's basically not so much to protect us against as it is to maintain empire. That's what its origins were. The first military bases were essentially conquered and created in Guam and the Philippines and Cuba, Puerto Rico, to conquer the markets of China and Latin America.
This was 100 years ago.
This is 100 years ago.
Yeah.
This is the foundation of what we have today. So in East Asia, the bases are targeted against China. We're essentially surrounding China with bases. Some of them in Central Asia do double time and now threaten Iran. And then, of course, we've got the deepening pressure of bases in the Middle East, targeted on principally on Iran at this point, certainly serving the war in Iraq, and therefore the long-term defense of our sweet monarchy in Saudi Arabia. And of course, we've got bases in Latin America and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that people, again, are unaware of is if you take a quick look at the U.S. Declaration of Independence, one of the things that was protested, one of the things that we actually went to war with Britain over, was the fact that they kept standing armies in our communities in times of peace, which committed, as the Declaration of Independence says, abuses and usurpations that were just intolerable. And other people in other countries experience our military presence in much the same way.
Well, Joseph Gerson, you're critical of this, as am I. Some people would argue, well, look, it's a mean, cruel world out there, and if we weren't throwing our weight around, it would either someone else would, or in the future would open the door to some other empire or other great nation like China. So this all, maybe it is a lot of money, and maybe we are doing some of the things we both spoke about, but ultimately it defends and supports what we are as a nation. How would you answer that?
Well, I think the problem is that we look at the world with a sense that we need to dominate it. In fact, Pentagon policy is what's called full-spectrum dominance, the ability to dominate any nation anywhere in the world at any time at any level of power. And that may work in the short term, but that's not the way you make friends, and we're dealing with the long term. We need to have respectful relations with other nations so they'll respect us. I mean, if you look at the articulated reasons for why Osama bin Laden attacked the United States, one of the reasons was that we had our military bases in Saudi Arabia. It's the holiest land in the Islamic world. I mean, think what we would feel like if there were, for example, a Venezuelan or an Afghan or a Chinese military base in Washington, D.C. We might not be so happy to have it there.
Sure. Well, probably for 100 years, and increasingly beginning with World War I and certainly post-World War II, it was taken for granted that American boots would be marching across the world. So if you say to people, what if another nation, what if China had bases in Mexico or controlled islands in the Caribbean, what would be our reaction? Probably the last 50 years or so, the greatest example was the Cuban Missile Crisis, where we felt it was quite okay to have nuclear missiles in Turkey aimed at Moscow, but when it looked like it was going to be tit for tat, JFK, that great American president, almost created a nuclear conflict.
Absolutely, and it's interesting to listen to Kevin Phillips, the former Republican strategist, talking about where we are as a country at this point. And the fact that we have this institutionalized military-industrial complex, which really is shaping our policy, it's limiting our lives, it's undermining our economy. And we need to think about how we can create a country that's not based on dominance. We need to be working with our members of Congress, liberals included, to be working for another approach to the world. And this approach was identified actually quite clearly and quite well at the end of the Cold War. Actually, the frame of reference with which the Cold War was ended by Gorbachev and actually by Olof Palme, the Prime Minister of Sweden, the concept of common security. Not until we're willing to approach other countries with a respect for their security, their needs, are they going to have a concern for ours? And this is how we can build over the long term.
Well, is it about peace? I mean, actually, it's in a lot of ways, too. It's about where the money goes. Where does our money get used here and kind of spread back into the communities from which it was collected? Or does it go to the military-industrial complex like it is now, and there's too many people, or not too many, I mean, actually, it's a handful of people that have, but they're very powerful, that have a vested interest in the latter.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the other side of it, of course, is that when Northrop and you know, all the major, Boeing and the rest, go for contracts, what they do is they subcontract in communities across our country, winning the support of congressmen, you know, from Wyoming to Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And what I think what we need to begin to be saying is these aren't the kind of contracts we want. These aren't what we want our members of Congress to be voting for. We want them to be voting the contracts, you know, for green energy. We want the contracts that are going to make it possible for us to compete with Japan and Finland in terms of energy conservation, because that's where our long-term economic security lies, and that's where our long-term survival lies.
Well, Joseph Gersten, thanks so much for being with us. Your book, The Sun Never Sets, is available through AFSC. That stands for the American Friends Service Committee. Joseph Gersten is the director of the Peace and Economic Security Program, something at the moment we're pretty far away from, but this is a good place to start. Thanks a lot for being on the Mike Malloy Show.
Okay, thank you for having me.
All right, we'll be right back. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werbe. A little confused. We thought we were talking with Jack Huberman, who wrote Bush It. We'll get him on, don't worry. Meantime, we'll get you on. 866-303-2270. Stay with me. Your turn's coming up.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet that could help end poverty. And yet, it's being ignored. That resource is women. In many of the poorest parts of the world, women are pushed to the sidelines of their societies, not allowed to play a significant role. At CARE, we found that if given a chance, women possess incredible power to create change. So CARE is working to educate girls, working to help women start businesses, working to empower women worldwide. Right now, you can help CARE unleash this resource around the globe. For as little as $2 a day, you can make a difference to millions around the world.
I am powerful. I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world.
I am powerful.
You have the power to help her do it.
To make your gift to CARE, call 1-800-486-0916. That's 800-486-0916. 800-486-0916.
Hi, Truth Seekers. You're listening to Peter Werbe sitting in for me, Mike Malloy.
Thank you, Mike Malloy. Indeed I am. And it was my screw-up. Jack Huberman, author of the Bush Haters Handbook, his brand new book is Bush It, an A to Z Guide to the Bush Attack on Truth, Justice, Equality in the American Way, who is going to be with us at about an hour from now. 40 minutes from now. Yeah. All right. In the meantime, hey, got all open lines, 866-303-2270. I'd like to hear from you, 866-303-2270. Now, I heard, and some of you did as well on these, on some Air America radio network stations, Janine Garofalo on the Majority Report making fun of Cruella, Catherine Harris, as we all know and love, the woman who stole the election in 2000 for George W. Bush. I mean, we got to revisit that every once in a while, because I was just looking on my site. If you go to my site, Peter Werbe, PeterWerbe.com, and go, I guess over on the right column, which talks about Bush stealing both the 2000 and the 2004 elections, it's almost inconceivable. This one is a little more believable. This was done by kind of old-fashioned ways, but the idea that in a state that has the brother's, the candidate's brother as governor, and the person who is in charge of the voting and the counting is also head of the election committee of one candidate, is just unbelievable. And that was Cruella. That was U.S. Representative Catherine Harris. And she's not real popular even with the Republican Party, but she's has a Senate campaign, and she was on national television on Nightline yesterday. Most of us were listening to the Mike Malloy Show, right? Harris told John Donovan of Nightline that she intends to sell her personal assets to fund the race. My husband has real estate, but I will not own anything. What does that mean? My husband has real estate, but I will not own anything. Since making a pledge last week to put $10 million of her own money into the race, Harris has made the phrase, putting everything on the line, a new campaign theme. Now, she's going to put out $10 million to get elected to a job that pays what? What does a Senate job pay? Like $150,000 or $200,000? I don't know. Talk about not knowing details. I don't know that one. How much does a senator make? Well, $10 million for a $150,000, $200,000 job is quite a piece of change. She says, I'm willing to take this widow's mite, this pearl of great price, and put everything on the line. Is she a poet? No matter how much you have, or are you willing to take what you have and sell it all for a great price? It does. She's kind of getting some iambic pentameter there, isn't she? Maybe she should sing it as a blues song. I'd try, but you wouldn't like it. Donovan did not ask her. This is not the rock folk singer, but this is John Donovan, a Nightline. Did not ask her about her links to defense contractor Mitchell Wade, who recently pleaded guilty to bribing a California congressman. Now, Harris has added a religious component to her campaign, this article says from TBO.com. The phrases widow's mite and pearl of great price both are biblical. Widow's mite in the book of Mark refers to a poor widow witnessed by Jesus contributing a tiny amount of money, a mite, to the temple treasury, while wealthy people contributed large sums. Jesus said the widow gave more because she, quote, cast in all that she had. I mean, these people have delusions of grandeur big time, don't they? Wow. In the book of Matthew, Jesus refers to the kingdom of heaven in terms of a man selling all he has to buy a pearl of great price, giving his all for a great reward. Donovan asked Harris whether her $10 million pledge could make the public view her as an affluent person incapable of understanding the problems of the poor. Do you think? Let's see, here's Randall in Buffalo, New York. Randall, thanks for calling 866-303-2270. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here.
Hey, thanks. You guys are doing a great job. Please get this quote on a tape of this soundbite and get it out to all the other stations and talk jocks. Before the invasion, the inspectors were in Iraq, and there was a lot of questioning of Rumsfeld and others about, have you supplied the inspectors with these details you say you have about where all these weapons are? And Rumsfeld kept answering things like, we can't tell them all the details because it'll be a security risk. We might give up some of our sources or some crap like that. But then at one point in one news conference, Rumsfeld gets all testy and goes, why? You know, we know where they are. We know where the weapons are. And I would love to hear that quote played over and over again in these discussions about all the lies and all the falsehoods.
Well, wouldn't that be great? You know, actually, I interviewed Aaron Glantz last night. And was it he or someone else, some other reporter, who took down all the addresses where Powell's in the UN said that these depots were for these poison gases? And he went with these inspectors, and they said, no, we've been there five times before. There's nothing.
Right.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
If you didn't find that soundbite, thanks a lot, man.
If I can find it, we'll get it on the air for you. Here's Joe in Miami. Joe, you got about 60 seconds. You want to talk about the rock band Tesla?
No, sir. Actually, Nikola Tesla.
Oh, Nikola Tesla, who the rock band Tesla named their band after. Yeah,
right.
the great inventor, the rival of Thomas Edison.
Thank you. Yes, exactly. Why aren't we using his technology? Why aren't we delving, if not diving, straight into that?
Ball lightning.
Wireless energy, and we don't need to be fighting these freaking wars over oil, this like archaic thing that it is. I mean, I don't understand. We have it right in front of our faces, and it's old technology to boot.
Sure.
I mean, it's amazing.
Well, Tesla invented ball lightning. All right, thanks a lot. I agree. We got to do something. Didn't Bush, what does he have this kind of moment of truth where he says we have to end our addiction to oil? Is it just another one of his pathological lies? Well, what do you think? Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. We've got another 2 hours at 11:30 for sure. Jack Huberman talking about Bush It. Listen to my words, folks, particularly on the affiliates and you managers out there. We'll be right back. Hey, we've got some open lines, too. We'll take your calls after the top of the hour break. 866-303-2270. This is the Air America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
At Borders, we believe readers should never be stuck without something good to read.
What are you reading?
Soda Can.
Like it?
I've read it before.
Yeah, me too. I found it rather predictable. Carbonated water, aspartame.
I like the part about the final kid in Nurex, though. Mm. Sounds so ominous.
You'll always have something great to read with Borders Rewards. Joining is free. Earn rewards every time you shop. See store for details.
What do you think the author meant by canned under the authority of?
Oh, that part did seem to come out of nowhere.
That's what I thought.
Join Borders Rewards. Make reading even more rewarding.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mike Piazza. Good news for the Koch family of Pittsburgh. Their daughter Tanya, missing since age 14 and now 24 years old, has been found safe. Police say Tanya Koch was found yesterday in McKeesport. She was reported missing on February 10, 1996. Put back the charges. That's the request from Texas prosecutors who have asked Texas Appeals Court to reinstate some of the criminal charges against Congressman Tom DeLay. The prosecutors argue that the Texas prohibition on corporate money in political campaigns is a felony and should be subject to the state's criminal conspiracy law. The three-judge panel of the Texas Third Circuit Court of Appeals is not expected to rule for at least a month. DeLay is accused of funneling illegal corporate donations to Republican candidates for the Texas House. Republican Senator Arlen Specter, now a vocal critic of the Bush administration's eavesdropping program. Specter is proposing a measure that would require a secretive federal intelligence court to conduct regular reviews of the program's constitutionality, and Specter will preside over Senate efforts to write that program into law. Specter told the Associated Press they want to do just as they please for as long as they can get away with it. All that high-priced real estate in New York City does not buy you clean air to breathe. New York City is being labeled the worst of the worst when it comes to dirty, cancer-causing air, the city with the greatest risk in a state with the dirtiest air, according to data from the Environmental Protection Agency. New York is followed by California, Oregon, Washington, D.C., and New Jersey for the dubious distinction of having the worst air, according to the EPA's data. The best air was in Wyoming, South Dakota, and Montana. General Motors gets a break from the United Auto Workers. Both GM and the auto parts supplier Delphi will be offering early retirement buyouts to tens of thousands of hourly workers. GM workers can get up to $140,000 each, depending upon their years of service. Dara Littlejohn has been indicted in the vicious rape and strangulation murder of New York City grad student Yvette Sangean. You recall Sangean's body was dumped in a desolate area of Brooklyn last month with her head wrapped in packing tape and a sock stuffed in her mouth. Officials say the indictment in the case will be unsealed and announced tomorrow. And Milwaukee police are walking shoulder to shoulder, stepping up the search for two young boys who disappeared from their neighborhood nearly 3 days ago. They're searching for 11-year-old Purvis Parker and 12-year-old Quadrivian Henning. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Mike Piazza.
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby subbing for Mike. Mike and Kathy and little Molly off on vacation for the week. They'll be back on Monday. So you got me for the next few days. Call in 866-303-2270. Well, we're talking about American bases in Iraq last hour. And also, George W. Bush making this appearance in Wheeling, West Virginia in front of a military audience. Where else to make sure it'll play on national television, showing him getting cheered? The one-third of the population that still doesn't think he's incompetent, corrupt, vile, venal, and mean. There's always, remember, I haven't done this on this. On these substitute shifts. But I always talk about the Lincoln dictum. You remember that you can fool all the people some of the time? That's what happened like after 9/11 with George W. Bush. You can fool some of the, wait a minute, what is it? You can fool some, all the people some of that time. Let me get it right. You can fool all the people some of the time. That's what happened after 9/11. You can fool all the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, the third that still think George W. Bush is something other than a hound from hell, they're the people that can be fooled all the time. And it's self-induced. It's willful ignorance. They need this strong authoritarian figure. I know it doesn't really seem to meet that identity, but what the hell. It's the best they got during these days. Well, I was telling my wife what I was going to talk about. She said, no, you got fired last time you did that. Don't talk about it. It was about religion and being critical of it. Now, I worked for United Auto Workers, but the guy that was kind of head of things, I won't even mention his name, was this born-again Catholic, and I let loose on religion. Okay. And then I figured out one of the things I always do when I start being critical of religion is talk about how much respect I have for many religious people in the peace and social justice movement. Unfortunately, I think they're way the minority. That is unfortunate. But the people I know, if I had to assess religion empirically from what I see in my daily life, I would say they are these peaceful, open, generous, tolerant people. The Christians I know, for instance, that oppose abortion don't want laws against it. They want to create, first and foremost, an economic situation where women can afford to bring all children into the world and raise them in decent circumstances. And also they want contraception available. They don't want male legislators passing laws to stop women from ending pregnancies. They're the compulsory pregnancy movement, the ones who want to do that. So, and also, they're at the forefront of the peace and social justice movement so frequently. And of all the Catholics I know, of all the Protestants I know, of the Jews, of the Muslims, a lot of Muslims here in the Detroit area, in fact, more than any place outside of the Middle East, when they are involved in social issues, you know how frequently they bring up Christianity or Judaism or Islam? You know how much? Zero. They don't do it because they are motivated by their religious beliefs. That makes them, that they create an ethical imperative for them to act in the world, even if they're not suffering, to stop the suffering of others. To stop the suffering created by George W. Bush and the class of ultra-wealthy people that he represents here and in the world. So when I hear any politician or anyone start banging their chest about how religious they are, using religious analogies, I think this is a charlatan right off. Because we know throughout history the way religion has been used. The way when politicians start using religion to justify wars and expansion and slavery and every other, if you permit me, god-awful thing that's ever cursed the human race, as soon as you hear that, it ought to put your, you know, warning flags up. When you hear George Bush talk about, you know, who's your favorite philosopher? Jesus Christ. You know, whew, man. When you see these right-wing preachers on television, and when you go back into history, when you see the Crusades and the Inquisition, I mean, these people were certifiably mad. When people start talking religion at you, they're mad. They're absolutely mad, and it's a whole long psychoanalytic deal where this all comes from. But the people that are truly spiritually and deeply so, they celebrate it. And when they get together, they celebrate it among themselves, and they hope you come into their fold. In fact, one of the ways they hope that you'll come into their fold is by their acts of good work in the world. They bear social witness, and they go, wait a minute, I know that Jane over there is a Christian. I know Jim is a conservative Jew. I know that Muhammad is a adherent of the Islam faith. And they're such good people. They're such good community members that maybe I'm going to join them. But when you start having people invoke God, whether it is Muhammad or Jehovah or the Christian God, you know you've got trouble on your hands. And this goes back to last hour's discussion about Cruella. Representative Catherine Harris, the woman instrumental in stealing the election from Al Gore in the year 2000, and now she's all about religion, talking about a widow's mite and this pearl of great price with these biblical allusions. There's an interesting book that's just came out by Kevin Phillips. He was the guy that engineered, in many ways, the strategy, the Southern strategy of the Republican Party in 1969. He's got a new book out called American Theocracy, and he says he identifies three broad related trends that he say are incredibly dangerous to America that's being practiced by Bushco, the Bush Corporation. So one is the role of oil. Actually, this is a review by Alan Brinkley that appeared last Sunday in the New York Times. Well, so this is Brinkley talking about Phillips' book. One is the role of oil in defining, and as Phillips sees it, distorting American foreign and domestic policy. Do you think? The second is the ominous intrusion of radical Christianity into politics and government. And they don't mean left-wing radical Christianity, believe it. Phillips doesn't. And the third is the astonishing levels of debt, current and prospective, that both the government and the American people have been heedlessly accumulating. And when he talks, Brinkley talking about Phillips' book, when he talks about religion, he says, the Southern Baptist Convention does not speak with one voice, but almost all of its voices, Phillips argues, are to one degree or another highly conservative. On the far right is a still obscure, but Phillips says, rapidly growing group of, quote, Christian Reconstructionists who believe in a Taliban-like reversal of women's rights, who describe the separation of church and state as a myth, and who call openly for a theocratic government shaped by Christian doctrine. These people have not read the American Constitution. In fact, they don't care about it. Fascists don't care about what kind of guarantees are embedded in a political structure. They care about forcing their view on the totality of a public. That's why they're totalitarians. A much larger group of Protestants, perhaps as many as a third of the population, claims to believe in the supposed biblical prophecies of an imminent rapture, the return of Jesus to the world, and the elevation of believers to heaven. Didn't somebody get in trouble by saying, could? Oh, yeah, Andre Codrescu, my buddy on NPR, who spent so much time in Detroit and now lives in Baton Rouge and broadcasts from New Orleans. Phillips writes, prophetic Christians often shape their views of politics in the world around signs that charlatan biblical scholars have identified as predictors of the apocalypse, among them a war in Iraq, the Jewish settlement of the whole of biblical Israel, even the rise of terrorism. He convincingly demonstrates that the Bush administration has calculatedly reached out to such believers and encouraged them to see the president's policies as a response to pre-millennialist thought, you know, the coming of Christ. He also suggests that the president and other members of his administration may actually believe these things themselves, that religious belief is the basis of policy, not just a tactic for selling it to the public. Phillips' evidence for this disturbing claim is significant. You know, this is truly frightening because, as I said, these people are truly mad. We have let the wackiest among them, among us, we have let the wackiest among us into the halls of power. I mean, they're rich, they're powerful, they're connected. That's how they got here in the first place. That's how they got in office in the first place. But we've dropped our guard. We have this religious oligarchy, this religious plutocracy, right? The rule of a few, the rule of the rich. And they are reversing 200 years of history here within our lifetime. And it's not like all of a sudden, some of you talk about fascism, and I don't want to even argue that Bush Co. is not that. But it doesn't necessarily come on the single night when we're all incarcerated. This is death of a thousand cuts unless we start taking some steps. Are you ready? All right, I'll get your calls when we come back. I'm Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show. Our number is 866-303-2270. This is the Air America Radio Network. I'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. Made possible by Search Dog USA.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werbe here, broadcasting for Mike from Detroit, Michigan. A lot of email coming in. I really appreciate it. Really appreciate that a lot of you are just doing like 4 or 5 sentences. Some of you really pour your heart out, but I can't read them now. And I do read them. I do read them, and I'll do it probably tomorrow. But if you're sending emails, please, one email a night of forwards. Some of you people I know are... remember there's an old Bob Dylan line, he's got a head full of ideas that are driving him insane, and there's so much out there to drive you insane, but please, if a couple of people I'm getting like 5 and 6 forwards of articles from, and much of it I've seen, stuff that's in the mainstream news, I look at the same sources, so your opinion, yes, one forward of an article a night, please, no attachments, I don't care if you've emailed me 8 times before. I'm not going to open any attachments, so don't do that. Angie in California writes, the hallmark of people with the extremist agendas is force. They believe that what they want is good and right and noble and true and warranted, so they then reason that using force to get it is fair. And it's also a whole mindset. I mean, they're mad. You know, they're mad in both senses of the word, and they are totalitarian. Remember that. Remember that. We always think of totalitarianism as a political system, which it is, which allows for no dissent, but that comes out of people's minds, and it translates often into a mass psychology. On one hand, there's an active group of usually a very small group of men that decide they have the political ideology that everyone should live by, and then they force it on everyone. This is sort of what, what was that book years ago? Something like soft fascism. Because we still vote and what have you, but through the manipulation of the media and not giving voice to dissent, think how well we do at dissent when you see the numbers, even though we don't have the ability to speak equally to the people of America. That's one of the reasons that they go to such lengths to keep left ideas off the air, even liberal ideas off the air, because they know if there was a fair and equal airing of these views, they would be gone. They would be history. Carla writes in to CallTalkYes at Yahoo.com. Thank you for saying that after all, it's our troops who are killing innocent Iraqis. Once again, I'm impressed by you. Thank you. I wrote you last year sometime because I'm an atheist, and I was so happy to hear you talking about that. You say the things that even some of our best liberals don't, although Malloy is equally righteous. He is the righteous man. All right. Our phone number is 866-303-2270, and our first caller is Stuart from Miami. Stuart, hi. It's Peter Werbe.
How you doing, sir?
Good. You're on the Mike Malloy Show. Go ahead.
Great. Thanks. Nice to speak with you. Yeah, I was just talking to some people before. I live in Miami, and there are lots of Republicans down here. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But whenever I engage in the conversation, I say, a lot of the issues that I bring up, one of them is, but if you found out that the president broke the law as far as wiretaps are concerned, would you support an impeachment? It's amazing how they try to get out of it and try to get around it. And I said, yes, but if there was an investigation and it was determined that he broke the law, would you support an impeachment? They get around it. Would you support an investigation? Mm-hmm. They get around that, too. But the bottom line is, whatever your position is, if you support any kind of authority that will break the laws of its society, I don't know. I mean, are you a member of this society?
Yeah, Stuart, I've been using this little phrase. If that one-third, and you're probably talking to some of them that still support George W. Bush, if they saw films of him engaging in cannibalism, they would still support him. So
exactly.
we're talking about a psychoanalytic mindset, right. And they're not about law. Remember, they're always talking about law and order. They don't really care about law. In fact, they love lawbreakers. And any good psychologist or even 101 would say one of the reasons they want authoritarian structures is that they want to be themselves constrained by it because they have such an urge to hurt, to punish, and destroy. Thanks, Stuart. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Florida and talk about Catherine Harris. Here's Paul. Paul, hi. It's Peter Werbe on the Mike Malloy Show.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for joining us.
It's pretty amazing to hear some of the things that W and his buddies say when they talk about foreign dictators, you know, and it can be easily applied to them themselves. Like you were talking about, he says, he's a totalitarianism. And it sounds like, George, you're talking about yourself there. But anyway,
Well, before you even leave that, you know, the United Nations has approved this new Council on Human Rights, and the United States puts out this list every year of nation states that violate human rights. Hello, Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, Bagram Air Force Base. Okay, go ahead. We only got a minute left. So,
Well, anyway, talking about Catherine Harris, she's talking about I'm putting $10 million and that's all I got. Well, I'm pretty sure she's a descendant of a guy named Ben Hill Griffin here in Florida who was, I think, worth like $300 million when he died in 1990. I think he might be her great-grandfather. He was involved in Citrus and, you know, who knows what else. So, I mean, there's plenty of money there. She can't keep throwing that curveball because, I mean, there's plenty of money there. I'm just wondering, she's being pretty much politically thrown under the bus by her own party. And I'm just wondering if this turns bad for her, what are the odds? Let's maybe put a positive spin. Ooh. What are the odds that she may come out and say, who told her to do what and what she did in 2000 exactly?
That's absolutely amazing. She'll have to go into the witness protection program. Paul, thanks a lot for calling in. Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. I'll be back with Jack Huberman. I mistakenly introduced him about an hour ago, so we're going to interview Jack Huberman and also play Bush It. Right back.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Thanks a lot for the ride home. Hey, no problem, man. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, The Anti-Drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
A good news story from ElitegoodNews.com.
I'm passionate about two things, motorcycles and my grandchildren. But for the past 3 years, I've suffered from arthritis. The pain caused me to lose strength in my arms and I couldn't pick up my grandchildren. My doctor suggested I try Aleve, and I definitely noticed the difference. With the pain gone, I've got the energy to pick up my grandchildren and have fun. It's fantastic.
Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Some of the best minds in the automotive industry, using some of the most sophisticated design facilities. Engineers from Ford Motor Company are working together on a common mission, creating safer cars for our families and our children. Ford is renewing its commitment to driving American innovation. At the core of that effort is your safety, because every single life saved is worth it. Ford, driving American innovation.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby broadcasting from Detroit, where our guest is going to be Jack Huberman. He's written Bush It, an A to Z guide to the Bush attack on truth, justice, equality, and the American way. But first, here's Daryl Cherney saying Bush It.
First they went and stole the election. The Supreme Court made the selection. The corporations gave the direction. They said Bush It. He went and hired his daddy's staff and a few guys from Nixon's just for a laugh. Now the world is his oyster, split in half. Bush It. Though he'd never been to a foreign land, had a map of the world he'd never understand. Right up his back with the puppeteer's hand. Bush It. Bush It. The old president's son. Bush It. That's the way it's done. Bush It. For all of your friends, who knows where this whole thing's gonna end.
All right, let's get Jack Huberman on the line on the Mike Malloy Show. Jack, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you.
Thanks, Peter.
This is your second book. The first one, The Bush Haters Handbook, and this brand new one from Nation Books, Bush It, an A to Z Guide to the Bush Attack on Truth, Justice, Equality, and the American Way. Did you ever hear that song by Daryl Cherney before?
I've heard it before, yeah.
Yeah.
You got me thinking there that my publisher should have worked out some deal where we slipped a CD of that song into the inside cover of my book. A little bonus to benefit Cherney and me and us, but well, there you are. Also, I wonder how many people independently came up with that with Bush It. You know, to me, and I wonder how many other people came up with it independently. But anyway,
here's the problem, Jack. Though that sounds too much. Remember that old song by Boris Karloff, The Monster Mash?
Right.
I think Daryl would have been, and then you would have been in big trouble. Hey, but let's talk about your book. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. 430 pages. How does one put together an A to Z guide to what you say correctly is the attack on truth, justice, equality, and the American way? How does one even assemble all of this?
I think the question should be, how do you fit it all into only 430 pages?
There you go. I mean, I'm actually curious as a writer myself and who takes notes and does research.
I think I started collecting information for this book before I even knew that that's what it was for. It was almost unconsciously I was preparing to do. I'm referring to the first book that this is sort of to the Bush Haters Handbook, which this is more or less a continuation of. Hate the word sequel, I think unconsciously, sometime in 2001, I started clipping stories and cutting and pasting stories into one file that kept getting more and more gigantic before I even knew what I was going to be using it for. I guess I knew on some level. But, you know, as I was sort of suggesting before, the hard thing isn't finding the material. The hard thing is picking and choosing and trying to fit it all in.
Well, Jack Huberman, this is an astounding list. I was thinking if during the 90s you would have asked the conservatives to come up with some anti-Clinton book, they probably would have come up with about 10 or 12 page pamphlet, right?
Yeah, well, that's just the thing. I mean, and that's really what induced me to get going on these books was, you know, the sheer volume. It was very frustrating to me to see these stories come and go. I'm talking before 9/11, for instance. Bush was already in pretty big trouble politically, we tend to forget, before he all of a sudden earned a 90% public approval rating for failing to prevent the worst attack ever on our soil.
Mm-hmm.
But even by that point, I mean, it was one damn thing after another, and my instinct was, you know, the media, you know, I often quote Gore Vidal's phrase, the United States of Amnesia.
Sure.
And he means it kind of more historically. I use it to apply to the way, you know, the media decrees that a story that's been out there for a week or two, they decide nobody's interested in it anymore. Well, it becomes self-fulfilling. Nobody hears about it anymore. And the assumption is it must not be important anymore.
Yeah, can we say Valerie Plame? Can we say Enron? The Enron trial, if I read it in the New York Times, it's in the business section, and
right.
It doesn't even appear in the Detroit papers, for instance.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole spirit of my book was the big picture. You know, it really, you know, these stories that come and go in the media didn't seem to be leaving any cumulative effect. They didn't, you know, they don't kind of congeal into a pattern in the mainstream media. And I think that's still true. And that's what I tried to do.
Mm-hmm. Jack Huberman, you're a Canadian, or were, I guess, is past tense, huh?
Well, still am. So when you hear it, I know what you're going to say about my taking U.S. citizenship so I could vote against Bush, which is true. The less dramatic thing about it is that I didn't have to give up my Canadian citizenship. Weren't you in Windsor today, by the way?
I was.
So I was told. I guess I have enough sentimental attachment to my original home and native land that I respond any time I hear a mention of it. But
in Detroit, we go south to go to Canada.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, because we're the kind of hooks in there, southern Ontario, kind
right.
of hooks
right.
around underneath.
Right.
The book is, we say A to Z, it's done not by issue by issue, because I was thinking almost the first thing that Bush did was these rules on arsenic.
Well,
it was right up there.
Yeah, that was very early. Don't ask me at this stage exactly when that was, but it was in the first 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You may know better than me. I don't know that was the very first thing. But
well, it was. I mean, it always strikes me is the quietism of the American people. You would have thought that mothers would have been generated a movement protecting their children from the Bush rules and now allowed more arsenic to go into the drinking water that their kids were imbibing.
Yeah, well, I think it is maternal instincts probably that make women in general somewhat more liberal than men in their voting habits.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're raising the whole question of why do people vote for this guy, well, it's a big question.
It's
a complicated question.
Well, one of the things is that they haven't read Jack Huberman's Bushit, an A to Z Guide to the Bush Attack.
Yeah, that's the main reason. That's the main problem.
Well, you know, but you did. I mean, sort of, kind of half joking and using this as a you know promotion point. But it's exactly what you said, that there is no cumulative knowledge of one. And I chose my words correctly. Crime, one crime after another.
Yeah, and I not a day goes by when I don't get a reminder of that. For instance. Pretty much all the coverage of Iraq is a reminder of that to me because of the way it's all framed. You see, I thought all along, I've felt, for several years now that Democrats and other opponents of the Bush administration, who focused on two things, the economy, quote unquote, and I'll come back to those quote marks, on the A and B, Iraq, namely how things are going in Iraq, which is what most of the attention is on, we're making a mistake for a couple of reasons. First of all, both of those things are susceptible to change. Come election time, throughout the first term, Democrats seem to be, the two main focuses of criticism were the economy and Iraq. You're betting on things that can turn around at any time. The situation in Iraq, you never know. I mean, it seems
sure.
like it would take a miracle right now. But my point is that should things by some miracle happen to, you know, fall into place in Iraq and there's some kind of a happy ending, it will not vindicate Bush's policy and the decision to go in there. We had no right to go in there. At the very best, it was a huge gamble with a gamble with Iraqi lives and American lives and treasure. An extreme long shot, which might, you know, which you know, we simply had no right to do.
Yeah, well, we're almost out of time, so we should. You mentioned economy in quotes. That's going great guns, at least for the people that are coupon clipping.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, in between those, you know, two quotation marks and those two little words, the economy, you kind of have to magnify that a little bit. You know, what is the, you know, the economy? Are we talking about people in your neck of the woods who are, you know, losing their jobs en masse, losing benefits, losing their, you know, retirement security? I don't actually know what's going on.
No, they're going to offer them $35,000 as a buyout. That'll last them a long time.
Yeah, really. I mean, I heard that described on CNBC today as a generous offer, and they weren't being ironic about it.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. You know, between those two quotation marks, there are a lot of disparities in the direction people are going in at the top and at the bottom. And, you know, the inequality just keeps widening.
Yeah, Jack, here comes our music, which means I have to say goodbye. Jack Huberman, H-U-B-E-R-M-A-N, author of Bush It, an A to Z guide to the Bush attack on truth, justice, equality, and the American way. It's published by Nation Books. Hopefully, you can probably go to nationbooks.com or .org. Do you know that, Jack?
It's somewhere on there.
Or just go to The Nation, and you'll get it. Thanks for joining us. A great book. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. The Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby. Back to get your calls. We're open line right to the end of the show. So call 866-303-2270.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico motorcycle insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you, broadcasting from Detroit, Michigan. 866-303-2270. We're open line till the end of the program, so that's over an hour. Give us a ring. Denny in Wenatchee, Washington, who writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, says, Peter, I enjoy your views, but please don't humor or give credence to the absurd. Those who adhere, now what I was saying was, I was critical of politicians and people that publicly parade their religiosity. And particularly when it's politicians, particularly when it's intertwined with the state, it's always dangerous, murderous, destructive, and every other negative adjective I could think of. He says, those who adhere to the ridiculous and ignorant idea of an all-knowing creator of the universe and loving deity in the sky are to be pitied and scorned by the enlightened, and most certainly should not be praised for their Neanderthal beliefs. Well, Denny, as the chair of the Neanderthal Anti-Defamation League, I resemble that remark. The Neanderthals were pretty cool, and they did not believe in punitive male sky gods. There is an inherent problem in the major religions, is that they all supplanted nature religions that allowed people, you may not even go for this, because you would say this is absurd as well, that there was this interconnectedness of everything in their daily life, that the god figures, the spiritual gods and goddesses, the dozens and dozens of them that inhabited every part of life, were extraordinarily important to people that were around, say, like the native people, that the sacred land of which I am on now, that was stolen from the people that lived here by the European invasion. They had lots of gods. Everything was sacred. And that's, well, I mean, this is a long discussion. But that worked for them in a very important way. Then, of course, when you start to have the rise of classes, private property, the political state, then you need this parallel spiritual structure that doesn't integrate everybody with everything, but rather sanctifies the authoritarian, hierarchical, class-based system that that comes about when all of this arises together. Okay, class, and we're going to have a little recess right now and go to your phones. 866-303-2270. So, in other words, if I was going to be a religionist, it would be a pagan, no doubt. So let's hear from you. 866-303-2270. Here's Sally in Illinois. Hi, Sally. It's Peter Werby.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a 100-megabyte file on my hard drive of just all kinds of great minds with one thought. And I was just wondering if he was going to write another song, Stuck Between Iraq and a Hard Place.
Oh, you just emailed me. I wrote you back. I said during the break, is that one of Daryl's albums, or is that one you just thought of?
I don't know if somebody said it and I heard it in a daze or something, but I kind of thought that I made it up, but I'm sure someone else did too.
Yeah, I've heard it. By the way, the artist that wrote the song Bush It, that I'd say that the Monster Mash people are going to get on his case. Didn't that sound a lot? You remember that thing?
Oh, yeah.
It was a Monster Mash, a graveyard smash. Anyways, it's Daryl Cherney, Cherney. Don't call him Cheney.
No, God, no.
And Daryl, Darryl. He's actually a forest environmental troubadour. He works with the group Earth First and has quite a history of his own. He was bombed. He and a woman named Judy Berry were riding in a car when suddenly a bomb exploded under her, did incredible damage to her. And they sued, Judy Berry and Daryl Cherney sued the FBI and won, I think, $1 million.
Oh, my God.
From them. Thank you, Sally. I appreciate your call. Here's James in Salt Lake City. Hi, James.
Hi, Pete.
Hi. Yeah, this is one of these shows where you got to talk.
Yeah, well, with King George and all his court, you know, the man who would be king, with the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, reminds me of the time leading up to the French Revolution. So what us peons and serfs and have-nothings have to do is rise up, pull them down, pull out the guillotines, raid their coffers, confiscate their assets, and put it back into the country.
I go for everything except for the guillotine. A lot of heads rolling around That's for some other time. I come from a state that's never had a capital punishment here, so I don't know. But I know what you're saying. All right, thank you very much, James. That's solving the problem, he says. You know, I talk about this email that I can get your messages from. Calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Here's the farthest away tonight, to be sure. Christchurch, New Zealand. Bob is listening way down there. Of course, it depends. You know, it's not down there. It's only when you have this one manner in which you place the maps. If you think about it, I think some South American countries do that. They flip it around, so it's the other way. This is a sphere. I mean, we're looking at it pretty arbitrarily. So he could be up there or in, what are they, what the antipodes, right? Isn't that what it is? The antipodes, the antipodes, the other side of the world. That's where Bob is listening. It's got to be sometime Thursday afternoon. That's scary. Anyways, he says, really enjoying your show. Here's a twist to the Lincoln quote that I gave. You can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, and that's enough. I'd say so. All right, we're going to take a top-of-the-hour break, and we're going to go open line for the whole rest of the time. Let me see what people are talking about. Well, I've got a variety of things, and I've got some information. Actually, it's called Infidel Info, and it comes from one of my favorite little papers called Free Thought Today. And it's published by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Freedom From Religion Foundation. So these people are atheists. They're not even agnostics. They're hardcore, like me. And they have some interesting statistics about religion. A lot of people who are not religious or are atheists or agnostics or what have you think that we're really isolated in this country, that everybody are these God-fearing folks that go to church every single Sunday. Well, some of these facts and figures are going to really surprise you. Also, a number of other topics. We're open line, 866-303-2270. Mike Malloy Show, Peter Werby sitting in. Come on back.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
The following is a message from Brutus at the National Disaster Search Dog Foundation.
Last October, three buildings collapsed. I was called in to help. Two little kids were missing. I looked everywhere. Then I found them. They were crying. We all were.
Be part of the search. Call 1-888-4K9-HERO or visit SearchDogFoundation.org. Made possible by SearchDog USA.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Jeff Weiser. A bus crash in northern Chile resulted in the deaths of at least 12 tourists, most believed to be Americans. The bus apparently plunged down a steep cliff. According to a Chilean radio report, the tourists had been aboard the celebrity cruise ship Millennium, which was docked in the country's port town of Arica. At least four other tourists were injured in the crash. President Bush continues his campaign to build public support for U.S. policy in Iraq During a speech in Wheeling, West Virginia Wednesday, the president outlined a three-pronged approach to win in Iraq. He said the first part is getting Iraqis to vote for their leaders in free elections. The second phase involves rebuilding the country's infrastructure and encouraging investment. He said the third part is to secure the country. Some observers say the president's speeches show he is struggling to gain support for the Iraq war and lift his sagging approval ratings. Dennis Johnson, a professor of political management at George Washington University, says Bush is being forced to acknowledge more of the war's difficulties.
One of the complaints against the president for a number of years now is that he's not very willing to admit that he's made a mistake or that things aren't going exactly right. Reality is forcing him to say, yeah, there are problems and we know it's going to be tough.
The world's largest automaker will slash its workforce by offering employees what could be the biggest buyout in corporate history. General Motors, the United Auto Workers Union, and bankrupt auto parts maker Delphi have agreed to offer buyouts to more than 125,000 hourly workers. The move is aimed at slashing 30,000 jobs by 2008. Economic analyst John Challenger of Challenger Gray & Christmas says the auto giant needs to take drastic action to survive in a global market.
This is the preeminent company, and they offer the preeminent wages and benefits to their workers, but they can't offer that in today's environment. Most companies have already been down this road.
The plan will be offered to all GM hourly employees, and buyout offers could total as much as $140,000. Preparations continue to help Arizona and the rest of the Southwest fight wildfires. Rose Davis with the National Interagency Fire Center says there are now two military air tankers in New Mexico ready to go. Those aircraft from the 145th Airlift Wing of the North Carolina Air National Guard. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
on the Air America Radio Network. Welcome to our third and final hour. No, you're right. I'm not Mike Malloy. Mike Malloy, Kathy Malloy, little Molly Malloy off on vacation. And they'll be gone until Monday. So you got another hour, this show, and then two more days. Hope you're enjoying it. I'm having a grand time. And we're open line until the end of the hour. So please join us at 866-303-2270. About a half an hour ago, we had Jack Huberman on the air as a guest, and he's written the book Bush It, an A to Z guide to the Bush attack on truth, justice, equality, and the American way. And Sally, who I think is the same Sally that was on just a few minutes ago before the break, she says that the Bush It book is available at Amazon.com for $9.72. So I would say go for it. Sounds like a good deal. Here from the Department of Random Acts of Rebellion. I think I'm going to make this a regular department, part of my Detroit show, and do it on here. So if you've got random acts of rebellion you want to report, send them to me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. But this is from thesmokinggun.com. Meet Edward Cubas. The 31-year-old Georgia man was arrested Friday afternoon for urinating in the gas tank of a marked Savannah police car during the city's rollicking St. Patrick's Day celebration. That's right, Cubas, an army captain no less, tried to top off the tank of a marked cruiser from the Savannah-Chatham Metropolitan Police when officers in a second vehicle spotted Cubas, calling him different every time, Cubas, pressed against the control car. They called him over to their car. He responded by running away while, quote, simultaneously placing his penis back in his pants. Cubas was quickly apprehended. I mean, that's hard to run. I mean, if any guy's ever tried that, it's hard to run. He was quickly apprehended and eventually charged with public indecency, criminal trespass, and interference with government property, all misdemeanors. Amazingly, he was not hit with any booze-related counts, though you have to figure Cubas was a bit toasted when he approached that gaping gas tank. Huh. So that's at smokinggun.com. I said I'd give you some statistics on religion. Now, those of us who are not religion, those among you and those of us who are atheists or agnostics, we always feel that, you know, we are so outnumbered by Christians particularly, but by all religions. We're just this hidden little minority, but the facts don't seem to bear that out, particularly worldwide. 60% of the French don't go to church. In Sweden, 11% of women, 7% of men go to church. By contrast, only 16 U.S. citizens say they rarely go to church. But we talked about that last night. There's been studies, and this is, by the way, is from Free Thought Today, from the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org, that people always lie about religion and sex. I'll kind of repeat what I said. People, do you have sex? How many times a week do you have sex? Well, 9 times at least, you know, 9. And how often do you go to church? Twice. Whenever I'm not in church, I'm having sex. So a lot of these statistics have been shown to be bunk. That is, people reporting that they go to church regularly, because these social scientists, they go, okay, we'll go to a town and 80% of the people, or what is it here? 84% of the people say they go to church regularly. And there's 10,000 people in this town, and there's room for 400 in the church. So it's absolutely impossible. So people lie about religion all the time. According to the London Daily Telegraph, organized religion is in near terminal decline in Britain. Let's see. Utah Mormons are declining. They will not be in the majority by 2030, and there's been a decrease in their church membership since 2000. 32% of Americans label themselves spiritual, but not religious. And an additional 11% call themselves, quote, not spiritual and not religious, compared to 51% who consider themselves religious and spiritual. And Freedom From Religion Foundation says that puts the not religious nearly neck and neck with the religious. Those calling themselves atheist, agnostic, no religion, that's me, were at 14%. And compares, for instance, to Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Christian Orthodox, and Buddhist, who are only 1%. Evangelical Protestants are 27%. Non-evangelical Protestants, 11%. So there's more of the atheists than there are of them. Roman Catholics, 15%. We're almost there. Mormons, 3%. So what are we holding our heads in shame for? Or hiding or think that our neighbors are going to think we're weird because we don't believe in their, what does George Carlin call him? The invisible man that they do, right? We don't believe in invisible men. A recent survey of 1,600 scholars at 21 top-tier research universities found that 55% of those in natural sciences, physics, chemistry, biology, identified themselves as atheists or agnostics. So almost 56%, or 55.4%. That's all? Among the four social scientists, 47% identify themselves as non-believers. The most irreligious field, where people have the least belief in God or religion, thankfully, is biology. Two-thirds of them don't. The least irreligious is economics, 45%. Well, they're running that social science on faith, so you can understand that. Only two respondents out of 1,646 agreed with the statement of the scholars. Agreed with the statement, the Bible is the actual word of God and should be taken literally. So 1,644 didn't believe that and two did. So there's a lot more as well. Check those people out. There, never mind. I won't say anything bad about them. I like them. I've had a lot of, through the years, had people from the Freedom From Religion Foundation on the air. They're good people. They do legal work as well. When I don't know if it was the labor movement, but they called these people that were always trying to jam religion down your throat God pests. You know, like a pest, God pests. So when these God pests are trying to always put the religious symbols in our public buildings, in our parks and all that, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is right there trying to stop them. And well, they should. Get religion out of the public square. That's what the Christian right-wingers say. They're trying to drive religion out of the public square. I admit it. I'm here. I'm doing it because it doesn't belong here. You get religion into the public square, what do you get? People fighting one another. Can we say Iraq? Can we say Northern Ireland? Come on. 866-303-2270. Let's go to Michael in New Jersey. Hi, Michael. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, one, that for you people and programs at Air America, I like what I hear, and you're a good draw for people to start listening to radio news and ignore what they see on the TV news.
Yeah, forget television. Turn it off.
But
and turn your radio off. Can you do that, Michael?
It is off, isn't it?
Oh, I see. I'm getting this weird echo. I think it's on our end.
I'm sorry. I've got XM on. Hold it just a moment. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's great. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm on a Bluetooth headset. My point I wanted to call on, I heard many of your programs talking like George Bush is the crux of these problems that we're experiencing.
Uh-huh.
And I just wanted to offer a personal opinion of objection to that.
Okay.
I don't think he's so much the problem in as far as he thinks he's doing right. I mean, you're talking about a man who could not successfully complete any corporate experience he had. His companies ran into the ground. Couldn't really successfully perform his educational experience.
Yep.
Couldn't perform his military experience. I don't see how anyone can think that such a person could really do all these problems that are being caused by this administration.
Well, somebody's in charge, and you remember Harry S. Truman said, the buck stops here. So I think we got to leave it at old George W.'s doorsteps. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate your call. Let's go to Paul in Sacramento. Hi, Paul. It's Peter Werby on the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, Peter. Hey, it's so good to be with you.
Thank you.
I love your show.
Well, thank you.
You're great, man. Hey, I wanted to say a few words about atheism, and thanks for bringing it up, because, you know, I think religion is the most divisive force in the world.
Yeah, it looks bad. It's got a bad history, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, and the most religious place on Earth is the most war-torn place on Earth.
Iraq.
You know, the Middle East.
Sure.
They're locked in perpetual battle with each other over religious ideology.
Yeah, and it wasn't the same true in Europe, remember? That was this madhouse of religion and wars when we took this toxic culture over to the New World. What a bad idea.
Oh, yeah, you know, our forefathers fled religious persecution under King Henry and the church domination of the Church of England. And their premise in formulating the United States, all the 13 colonies, agreed only on one thing, and that is there will be no force upon anybody to be religious because they couldn't agree on which religion.
Wait. No, those colonies, they had real strict laws about the religion you could adhere to. There was a lot of deals with heretics and what have you. But when they finally got it into the Constitution, these guys got some sense and said that Congress shall establish no religion. That was the number one thing they put in the first amendment to the Constitution. Paul, thanks for joining us from Sacramento. We got a lot of callers waiting. Let's see, you got a couple open lines, too, if you'd like to join our discussion here on the Mike Malloy Show. 866-303-2270. Peter Werby's sitting in for Mike. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet that could help end poverty. And yet, it's being ignored. That resource is women. In many of the poorest parts of the world, women are pushed to the sidelines of their societies, not allowed to play a significant role. At CARE, we found that if given a chance, women possess incredible power to create change. So CARE is working to educate girls, working to help women start businesses, working to empower women worldwide. Right now, you can help CARE unleash this resource around the globe. For as little as $2 a day, you can make a difference to millions around the world.
I am powerful.
She has the power to change her world.
I am powerful.
You have the power to help her do it.
To make your gift to CARE, call 1-800-486-0916. That's 800-486-0916. 800-486-0916.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby, broadcasting from Detroit, sitting in for Mike. Here's what Gwen writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. She says, you say what's on my mind and vent some of the anger and disgust I've been feeling. Disgust I have been feeling. I can now laugh out loud when Bush speaks instead of feeling sick, angry, and helpless. I also agree regarding these fanatic Christians. They are truly dangerous. Yeah, I mean, that gets back to what we were talking about yesterday, that survey that said that Republicans were happier than Democrats. We've got a lot of to be sad and unhappy and angry about. People that are feeling, people that that care about the environment, people that care about other people's lives, people that care about our fellow human beings, our communities, we're not very happy. And this remaining third now that supports Bush, they're still happy? Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. 866-303-2270. Tell me what you think. Let's go to Michael in New Mexico. Michael, where are you in one of my favorite states?
Hey, man, I'm on the road. Yeah? And I'm driving back from Phoenix to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, I just got XM for this trip that I'm making. And
great.
I've never had a chance to hear Air America before. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to get it so I can listen to Air America and, you know, just test out the XM thing on the way.
Terrific. Welcome.
Well, thanks. And I really enjoyed it. I got to catch Randy Rose's show the other day. And I've been recording in Phoenix. So I haven't had a chance to do a lot. But I just wanted to tell you, I consider myself a disciple of Jesus.
Do you?
But I am not religious, and I agree with you that religious people ought to be pitied.
Well, that's what one of my letter writers. Maybe. All right. Never mind. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm not religious at all, and I can't stand religion. I agree with just about everything you've had to say tonight about religion. And also, I think that you probably haven't had a chance to talk to people like me. I don't even like the word Christian. I don't consider myself a Christian either, because that's a derogatory term that people use to describe people who have a relationship with the Lord. But I just want to tell you, I don't think folks on the left-hand side of the political spectrum in America realize that most of the people like me who consider themselves someone who has a relationship with God are almost down the line exactly the same on the issues as you guys are. I don't want there to be a law against abortion. I think Bush is the worst president of my lifetime except for Jimmy Carter, and that's a gap that's closing considerably every day. I don't want religion taught in the public schools. I don't really care for religion being in the general public square, although I don't see anything wrong with it as long as there's not this trying to jam it down your throat thing that you were just talking about.
Well, wait a minute, Michael. Wait a minute. But as soon as you have that, whose religion are you going to have there? You going to have the Ten Commandments, or are you going to have, what about the people that have different religions, the people that have no religions? It's best to keep the public square totally neutral and secular.
Well, what I'm saying is, like, if you go to a college campus and they have a public forum and somebody wants to stand up and talk about Buddha, I'm okay with that.
I'm absolutely okay. Anybody should be able to get out physically. If you want to stop in one of those great northern New Mexico cities and talk about Jesus or Buddha or whoever, that's fine with
right.
me.
That's all I meant by that. You know, I don't think it should be excluded, but I don't think it should be included, and I think politics ought to leave it out. But I just wanted to tell you that there are people on my side of the spectrum who are not, I think there's this monolithic opinion that if someone believes in Jesus, that they are a Republican who believes that there ought to be legislative morality, blah, blah, blah. And I'm against all of that.
I hear you. You know what? You know what, Michael, when you're talking on a show like this, you almost have to talk in generalities. And yet I think all of us, and I would hope so, that people have a generous and tolerant spirit, is that when they meet people, they judge them by the opinions that person expresses and how they act in the real world. And it sounds like you've got great ideas. Let me move on to somebody else. I appreciate your call. Thanks for listening on XM. Yeah, you can listen all across the country, can't you? Amendment number 1 to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. By its placement, we realize that's what the Founding Fathers thought was the most dangerous thing government could do, because they'd had experience. They didn't say you had freedom of speech or freedom of press or the right to peacefully assemble or to carry a gun or to not be searched without a warrant. That's all in there. But number one, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Get it out of the public square. All right, let's go to Charlie in Orangeville, California. Is that behind the orange curtain?
No, it's near Sacramento.
Oh, you're way up there. Okay.
Yeah, right. Thanks for taking my call. The problem with Christians, who call themselves Christians, is they're not followers of Christ. They've been taught a certain philosophy that's propaganda that's just not accurate. I got $1,000 library on just for studying the Bible and especially the New Testament.
Really?
And, the rapture is not in there. Trinity is not in there. Vote's not in there. Democracy's not in there. The first one to use abortion was God, according to the Bible in Hosea, chapter 13.
Charlie, you got the goods on him. Unfortunately, I got to go to a break, so thank you for that information. Yeah, people should read. You're right. You're right. I mean, join us, will you, at 866-303-2270. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Peter Werby. We'll be back after these.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. 866-303-2270. Peter Werby sitting in for Mike. We're talking about religion and atheism and anything else that's on your mind. Got a scattering of subjects, and we're open line right up till the top of the hour. Now, this is from Keith. Keith is in Ottawa, Ontario, and he wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. This is amazing. He gives me a nice compliment, thank you. And then he says, I'm an atheist, and I have never met another atheist. Keith, you got to kind of get around Ottawa a little more, or if things are like that in Ottawa, drop down to Toronto. He says, I feel lonely and separated from society with it being so religious. I actually face violence for being an atheist. I met a guy at a party, and we got to talking, and the conversation went to how I don't do drugs. I don't do drugs or drink. Some or drink. What is that? And he said, what are you, religious? And I said, no, I'm an atheist. He wanted to fight me right there. He was a Christian. Keith says, I see this as a microcosm of the larger aspect of religion. He was religious and wanted to fight. I'm atheist and don't want to fight. I only imagine what atheists go through in the United States. I don't know. I mean, Keith, you got to get in either a different neighborhood or you got to go to Toronto or something like that. I don't know anybody that believes in, well, among my friends. I mean, I said before, I know all these people in the peace and social justice movement that are Christians and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists and stuff like that. And they're nice people, and I guess I would say I'm friendly with them. Friends, this kind of core group I have here in Detroit, about 20 people that we've done stuff as friends and, you know, the fun stuff in life, also political stuff, put out a newspaper, tons of stuff. None of them believe in God. None of them. None of them whatsoever. And we interact with all these liberal Christians, and they're okay with us, and we're okay with them. So, I don't know. Wanting to fight? Should have kicked his ass. Huh. Here's Nick in New York City. Nick, you're a gay Muslim computer scientist.
Sorry, but the screeners didn't like to hear that. No, I was just reiterating the point that you can be more than one thing in America, and especially around the world. You can be Buddhist, you can be atheist, and that's what's special about New York, is that you can be whatever you believe you are in your being. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're religious or not. I just wanted to claim for pride, just my personal pride, that I don't care if I'm an atheist or I'm not an atheist. I have pride in who I am, and just like here in New York City, you know, there's a lot of religious fundamentalism on our streets. You know, every time I go to Times Square, I'm accosted by Scientologists, you know, anybody just commercializing whatever they have to fundamentally put out there. And it's annoying as all hell can be. But as a New Yorker, and all my friends are atheists, everybody I know is atheists, they're really brilliant people, and I actually am proud of them. I'm proud of their atheism. I would be an atheist myself if I didn't have my core fundamental beliefs. But we just hold our head up high, and we don't laugh. We don't point. I mean, I might get into a, like, debate match with some of these folks who are just pushing it a little bit too hard. But the core thing is I'm proud of who I am, whether it be mm-hmm. gay, a scientist, whatever.
Well,
and I just walk on. I don't fight. I don't make a slight against people. And about Iraq, I'm sorry, but...
Well, wait, before we go into Iraq, hold on. I mean, are you reacting to what I said, that we ought to drive religion out of the public square?
No, of course not.
Okay, because I was thinking, as I said, I don't mean that people should have the right of speech, including religious speech, anywhere. I meant we shouldn't have official proclamations, we shouldn't have official designations, we shouldn't have official statuary in the public square.
No, I was raised in Hawaii, and where there is no Christian outpouring, it's almost like an atheist paradise, because it's just absolved. I mean, you have more Buddhists per capita than anything else.
And wonderful weather. Wow.
But the truth of the matter is the argument for atheism is a brilliant one, a beautiful one, and it should be respectful and put out there in a great way, because it is a wonderful culture. But as far as Iraq, it's destroyed by our religiosity towards money. If we didn't have an American imperialism, they would be a peaceful world right now, or a lot more peaceful. And I'm sorry, but I disagree that it's not. The Middle East is a birthplace of culture, not just, quote, religiosity. And I think sometimes in our arguing about the topic, culture and religion somehow cross over, and we are attacking cultures when it's actually, like, we attack religion, but it's actually culture that we are attacking sometimes.
All right, I got you.
I'm with you. I think you're right on. I just want to add more respect to it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for adding to it. Thanks for calling 866-303-2270. Sometimes these people are in your face. I was at a small club in Detroit, well, let me see, probably 1994, called, some of you may remember it if you're listening in Detroit, it was called 404 down near Wayne State University, where these places usually are. It was a punk club. And believe it or not, Chumbawamba was playing in this little storefront affair. And Chumbawamba, you think, Chumbawamba, who the hell is that? They're the people that did that song, you know, a few years ago, I get knocked down, but I get up again, never gonna keep me down or whatever. Anyway, they're a hardcore anarchist band. They just had that one big hit, and they sold some records, too. Good folks. Anyway, so they're playing. They're playing their music, and suddenly these two Christians come, one guy carrying an enormous cross. I mean, bigger than him. Like, I mean, the size that you would crucify somebody on. Like the real one. And they've got these signs, one that says repent and the other one says sinners, right? So they come, and all of a sudden, all these young punks, in the, you know, the musical sense of it, the cultural sense of it, go running out there, and these women start taking off their tops and exposing their breasts to these devout Christians. I'll always remember this one guy says, "You don't have to do that," and he started stammering. I mean, faced, you know, with these bare breasts, and men started kissing men, women started kissing women. People were down on the sidewalk simulating intercourse. These guys ran off, and someone grabbed the sign that said sinners and repent, and people then began dancing wildly, many of them still without their tops on, with this sign bobbling over our heads. Wow. Anyways, that's my story for the night. Peter Werby and the Mike Malloy Show. Let's go to Greg in New Jersey. Hi, Greg. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing? Peter Worthy. I was about to call you Mike.
Well, that's not bad. Just don't call me late for lunch.
I love you guys. I love Air America, the whole family.
Well, thank you.
But what I got to say about this crime family that's ruining this beautiful country, just a simple way of getting Bush out of office. Everybody come together, we pick a day, and nobody go to work besides the police department and doctors that have to be, nothing else. Everybody don't go to work. The only thing they understand is money. We're going to hurt their pocket. They'll take Bush out the White House.
Greg, what a crazy idea. Who would ever do anything like that? Oh, yeah, the French are going to do that, aren't they? Have you been reading about that? This is exactly what you're talking about. It's called a general strike. Absolutely,
yeah.
Called a general strike. I'm down with it. All right, appreciate it. Thanks. Here's Paul in my hometown, Detroit City. Go ahead, Paul. You're on the air. Welcome.
Peter, thanks for taking my call.
Is this the Paul that used to call me on the IE America Radio Network? Or a different Paul?
No, I called you on night call.
Oh, here in Detroit. Okay, go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome.
I have kind of a comment, but when you have issues of earthly suffering and injustice, like sweatshop capitalism, a suicidal industrial policy, unfettered markets, guys that are making 1,000 times the salary of a regular worker, where are all these so-called Christians in the face of, shall we say, persistent and enduring social evils?
They're trying to stop people that love one another from marrying just because they happen to be of the same sex. That's where they are. That's where they are. That's why they're reprehensible. That's why they bring their religion to the political arena only on a basis of hurting people. In other words, they extend the hurt rather than creating the help.
I don't get it. It just doesn't seem to be something that... certainly not a teaching of Jesus Christ. Not watching, thousands of people starving in New Orleans, And I mean, that debacle that happened down there, they never even covered it because they couldn't believe how many poor people were actually being filmed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was an amazing travesty, another travesty, that whole business with Terry Schiavo. And I mean, Mike Malloy said it, I think, 4 or 5 months ago, while that whole thing was going on, 12 children were sitting in beds dying because their parents couldn't afford drugs to keep them alive. And here they are beating a banner for a woman who, after the autopsy, they proved, didn't even have half a brain left.
You got it. They're hypocrites indeed. Thanks a lot. Thanks for joining us from my hometown, Detroit. Yeah, we got a time for another call. Hey, no. Jason in New York says, no. And he's the boss. All right, we're going to go to Atlanta. We're going to talk to Virginia next. She's a witch. She says that. At least she told our phone screener that. At least that's what's up on the screen. So, hey, we got a witch coming up next on the Mike Malloy Show. Peter Werby here with you at 866-303-2270. Be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
Have you experienced a random act of kindness? Someone you haven't seen for years suddenly come back into your life? Do you know a positive story that inspired or motivated you? Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. For years, Aleve has been devoted to providing good news for people with arthritis pain. Now, Aleve invites you to share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com.
Use it directed for minor arthritis pain.
Thank you.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit.
I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV. Entertainment is entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV. Darling, you could pass the time, could you entertain? All the problems in the world, hunger in the land, we'd rather the old people know took a jury stand. Scott Peterson tried, well, he's a murderer, I agree. There's a lot more things in this world that your country needs to see.
That's the music of Alan West Brockman. You can go to his website, Alan, A-L-A-N, West Brockman, B-R-O-C-K-M-A-N.com. Good stuff on here. Sorry for the censorship, but it's not even so much Air America. A lot of our affiliates, we'd like to keep them, and they'd like to keep their license. Dave behind the orange curtain in Orange County, California, sends this one in. It relates to our discussion about religion. Did you hear about the insomniac, amnesiac, agnostic, dyslexic? He was kept awake at night trying to remember if he believed in dog. Yeah, I've heard that one. I still like it, though. All right, let's go to our witch in Atlanta, Georgia, Virginia. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
I've been fascinated over y'all talking about agnostics and atheists.
Uh-huh.
And I have a son that says that he's an agnostic. I'm a witch.
Okay.
Actually, if somebody asks me anything, I usually tell them I'm a born-again pagan, because for over 40 years, I was a Christian, but I realized, hey, you know, that's the wrong way to go.
What was the thing that happened that made you switch to Wicca?
Well, I'm a natural. I was born a witch.
Okay.
I'm not really Wicca.
Okay.
But I believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
And the church kept on telling me that it was demons and everything else. And one day I just realized, hey, wait, you know, I'm not evil. And because actually the Wicca does say do no harm to anyone.
Right.
And,
that's better than some of these organized religion. That's all they do is do harm to people.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, I think that's all they do is just sit around and, you know, try to think of things. But the main thing that I called, I don't know if you're going to know anything about it, because it's one of I'm considering it a backdoor policy.
Tell me.
Have you ever heard of Aesop's?
Aesop's Fables?
That's what I thought too. Companies that go Aesop.
Oh, you know what? Somebody just sent me something on that. That's why I depend on all of you to keep me informed of this. I think I saw this. I'm just suddenly looking back through my email to see whether I got rid of it. I'm thinking,
oh, I hope you didn't. I work for a company that is an ESOP company.
Tell me real quick, because we're almost at the end of the show.
Okay.
And I want to get one
well,
more.
What it is they're trying to take all these ESOP companies that have 250 employees and less.
Mm-hmm.
The big companies can keep ESOP, but they're trying to do away with it because it is a tax break for the companies.
You know what, Virginia, I'm going to take a look at this, and we don't have time really to go into it any further.
Right.
But thank you for bringing this up and alerting me to it, and that's what I count on our listeners for. Here's Michael in Wisconsin. You think religion should be in the schools?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Yeah, first off, I'm an ex-pastor who's now an atheist. And,
yeah?
Yeah.
Are you, you know, you're right up there. You're right up there around the Freedom From Religion Foundation people. Do you know them?
Yes, yes. Okay. And but the reason why I believe that it should be is because you got to break the myth down at an early age before they get indoctrinated. So before the Sunday school teacher can get a hold of them and tell them they're headed for hellfire and damnation, you compare Jesus Christ to Mithra, to Zeus, to Apollo, and you give them a comparative study and let them find out where the Bible originated from, why it originated, and what it evolved from.
Mm-hmm. Well, that certainly is taught in some high schools. Comparative religions, fine. Yeah, if you start putting up the tenets of Mithra and you go, wait a minute, this is identical to the story of Jesus.
Exactly. And when I was a Christian and it was brought up, of course, you know, in the circles that I ran, obviously, that, you know, religion should be taught in school. And I used to say, be careful what you wish for. Because do you understand, if they teach our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're going to have to teach these other pagan heathenistic faiths.
Wow. Well, that's not a bad idea. I appreciate your call. Dan Barker, by the way, who's one of the people that moves the Freedom From Religion Foundation, who I've interviewed a number of times. He is an ex-pastor as well and moved not to the dark side, to the light side. Let's see if we got time for one more call. Here's Lee in Hollywood, Florida. Go ahead, Lee. You got to do it real quick, though.
Hi. How are you doing, Peter?
Doing great. Tell me.
Oh, good. Two little things. I know you got short time. Do you remember a few years ago in a courthouse, a judge had a...
The guy in Alabama?
I guess it was. I can't remember, but... He had the Ten Commandments engraved on a block of granite
right
outside the courthouse.
Then he brought it inside, snuck it in.
Oh, he brought it inside.
Yeah, and then he got ordered by the federal court to get it out. Roy Moore. I think he's running for, like, governor or something like that.
Oh, my Lord.
Shows you crime pays. What?
He should donate that thing. I don't know who paid for it, the taxpayers.
Probably.
He should donate it to a little small church, a poor church, and get it out of there.
There you go, Lee. Thanks so much. Thanks for being our last caller on the Mike Malloy Show. I got another couple days. Mike and Kathy and little Molly will be back on Monday. Thanks for making this all so easy, and also Jason and Justin and I got to go. See you tomorrow.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
The lies, incompetence, greed, and pure stupidity of the Bush crime family are all revealed in the game Impeached. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Mike Malloy. And if you despise this crime family like I do, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com and buy the only board game that's bold enough to tell it like it is. Go to ImpeachBushGame.com, buy your game, and check out the Bush, Satan Rove, and Deadeye Dick Voodoo Dolls. I've got my game, and I'm sticking pins in my Bush Voodoo Doll right now! So visit ImpeachBushGame.com and join in on the fun today.